welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As you know, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And you are listening to the only show that provides the evidence and academic solutions of what we have to do. I want you to know that I'm going to, you know, get into content after this week. This week we're going to be focused on the, I'll just call it the crisis du jour and the news du jour, so that we can provide you with some details. I have started the social campaign on social media. We actually started sending out to different groups from the Mobius Strip Press page, and have started sending out to groups and pages this great information regarding this lawsuit that is going after Congress. And in the grand scheme of things, if you understand who was Congress at the time, that included Vice President Pence. And so what's interesting is the likelihood that Congress will elect President Trump, and the House will end up electing President Trump, and the Senate will likely elect Kamala Harris. And so Pence is out. His paycheck's over, and I think that Trump is... What bothers me is I've already seen in social media where some of the states that had representatives, especially Wyoming. I mean, Wyoming wants Liz Cheney. They're burning her in effigy, you know, not physically, but, you know, metaphorically, they're burning her in effigy. But what's important is that these states are starting to comment that Trump is going to be coming soon, because his focus is to end the political careers of those Republicans who voted for his impeachment. And I go, well, okay, that's fine if you've got nothing left to do, but that's really vengeful. And as far as I'm concerned, if Trump really wants to silence his critics, he would actually listen to the news that is dropping from Bob Schultz, what Bob Schultz is doing, and he would get involved. Trump needs to hear this message, because would he rather be president and do, you know, maybe this time around, maybe Trump would learn his lessons. It's a great example with Abraham Lincoln. You know, Abraham Lincoln went into the Civil War prosecuting a war that the South didn't want to fight. They just defended themselves, and they kicked the northern states' butts on a regular basis. I mean, I don't think the North even won until 2 years after, or actually until after the Emancipation Proclamation. And so if you can see what it took Lincoln to prostrate himself and to finally humble himself and say, you know what, this really isn't about me and my career. If I'm going to save the Republic, then I have to be on the righteous side of where we need to be, and that is to end slavery. He was not a fan of blacks, nor was he a fan of freeing the slaves. And nor did he... Yeah, if you understand, and if you go to... I believe it's the Red State Talk Radio podcast page on Reclaiming the Republic. We have a copy of the color-coded Constitution from the Constitution Society. And on that, or in that copy, if you go to the 1961 time frame down in the amendments, you will find that there was actually an amendment that was presented to the southern states that would have guaranteed that the southern states would have been able to maintain, that there would never be an amendment to remove slavery. That was a compromise Lincoln was willing to make. and going almost a century after the Revolutionary War and the founding of this Constitutional Republic, we can't help but understand that that was the wrong political that was the wrong political position and the wrong political compromise. And Lincoln opened the doors of his presidency in the direction of failure. I truly believe that he was, what is that process when you fold metal and you harden it and, you know, you heat it and tempered. I truly believe that Lincoln's soul, spirit, and mentality was tempered through his many series of failures. One of his early failures was his stint in the Army, the U.S. Army or the Cavalry or what have you. He became a lawyer first and then went into the Army. And I may be completely wrong because I'm not fascinated with, you know, individual history or biographies and this type of thing. But he went into the Army as a captain, and he ended up leaving the Army as a private. And so it's kind of interesting how, you know, that was just one of many significant failures. He had a total of, if I remember correctly, like 18 significant failures before he became president. And I think the lesson for kids is that even though you may not be able to be successful in all things, you still might be a great success in something. And so, you know, for all those kids listening, you know, just don't think that because you failed once or twice that your world and your life is over. You know, hang in there and, you know, be persistent. If you listen to our goal settings, because we do this at the end of each year, and actually this past year we did it at the end. The year before, I think we did it on New Year's. But the last couple of days of 2020, I actually went through how to set effective goals. If you're tired of not achieving or not being successful the way you want to be successful, then you need to look at how you're setting your goals and, you know, focus on that. Because, and the reason I'm saying this is because one of the cheesy cliches I use is if you want to separate yourselves from the Trumps and the Chumps, you have to focus on your goals. You just can't say, I want to do this, and then, you know, leave it on the wall and do nothing and, you know, work in no direction towards that goal at all. You will be equally failing in that goal or not obtaining that goal just as much as you did this year, the next year, and the following year. You have to focus on those things that you know are important for you to be successful. Anyway, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. We want to thank you for tuning in, and we beseech you to help expand our listenership. We actually dropped a constitutional minute. I haven't posted it yet, but it will be posted probably today or tomorrow. What we're trying to do is we're trying to hand-feed state legislators to understand the Constitution in context of how it was defined at the time of ratification, so that these legislators can seize the opportunity in providing the necessary leadership in uniting the states and going after the federal government and getting them into conformance of the Constitution. So anyway, oh, by the way, Red Pill Expo will be held June 4th and 6th in Rapid City, South Dakota. So hope you're planning to be there. If you're still locked down, because I saw this one post from, and this, the information of this post, I think, came from, not the World Health Organization, it might have been the Rockefellers or some other strategy, that they're not planning on really letting up until 2025, because the intent is to break the financial and the spirit of humanity to where everybody becomes dependent on the state and upon the global corporate government that is being created. Anyway, as you know, we're in a war, And you have responsibilities as a U.S. citizen. Your responsibilities are your right as a member of this constitutional republic, your right and responsibility to defend and protect that constitution. Ways that we can defend and protect it is using our First Amendment petitions. We just had a good exercise in that going into January 6th. There's another way in calling for and understanding common law grand juries. And as a matter of fact, I talked to Eric Levy. He mentioned that he might have a good, you know, bullet list of what it takes to set up a common law grand jury and the information basically behind this. Common law grand juries are a part of our legal system, our political legal system. It's in the Constitution. It wasn't in the Constitution until the Bill of Rights. But when they injected that into the Bill of Rights, it galvanized common law as the law of the nation. Now, it wasn't forced upon states until the 14th Amendment. So there's a state out there called Louisiana that is practicing civil law and is in violent violation to the Constitution by not providing common law grand juries, and those civil rights to its citizens because it uses civil law. Anyway, we will be back and we're going to get into some perspectives and some marketing. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
So right before the break, I was just reminding everybody that as U.S. citizens, we have both rights and responsibilities. And so the intent is to remind you that we are responsible for defending and protecting the Constitution, and some roles that we actually have is using our First Amendment petition in going after government and calling them out and demanding that they redress our grievances. They have a legal obligation to respond. If you use a First Amendment petition to local, state, and or federal government and they don't respond, you need to learn to file in court and go after them, because bottom line, that is your First Amendment right, and they are obligated by the Constitution that they must respond. Now, most people do not understand that. They're in government, but it's time we start teaching them a lesson that they're public servants. They are not our elite. Common law grand juries is another mechanism we just covered. The other thing, or the other responsibility that we all have, is in supporting the militia and or community involvement with it. And one of the things that the National Liberty Alliance is trying to teach people are committees of safety. Now, there are specific people that are part of the committees of safety, and technically, that is your representatives of government. And so if you look at who your people, you know, your legislatures in the House of Representatives at the state level, they are technically what was transformed from pre-Constitution into the Constitutional Republic. Actually, I think it was even a part of the Congressional Congress that your representatives were sent to represent you in Continental Congress, and now it's in the Constitution. So anyway, what we are all doing is I'm hoping you're just not getting entertained, because this is not first class entertainment. This is hopefully educational, and if I have any success, it is motivating you to actually do what you need to do and fulfill your responsibilities as a U.S. citizen by, you know, using those powers that you have. First off, we want to get you educated. We want to teach you what these things are, how to use those. This is why I was mentioning Eric Levy of the National Liberty Alliance. And hopefully we'll have him on once he has these things ironed out, that we can kind of present them, and then he can start running with that. Anywho, because we want you to understand what it is you need to do. But bottom line, the reason communism has continually been successful in America, and how these supposedly conservative organizations that are fighting communism are completely inept and have lost the battle, because they are fighting the enemy, the communist revolution, on the terms and the ground where they want us to fight them, at the federal level. Why is it that nobody is saying, you need to be down at your state capitals, you need to engage your representatives, you need to be in their face and tell them that they've taken an oath to the Constitution to support, at a minimum, to support that. And seeing what the heck is going on, they are responsible to stepping in. What the heck is wrong with them? I don't condone violence, but, you know, it's almost time to go cartoon here, where we start, you know, dropping anvils or what have you on Wile E. Coyote. And anyway, again, we're in a constitutional crisis, and this action that We the People Foundation is taking this week will be the solution. Well, let me put it to you this way. SCOTUS is going to be in a corner. The Supreme Court will have to either support the Constitution, or they will allow the Constitution to be directly violated and being called out. Because this whole domino of events, 31 states violated the Constitution. Now Congress has violated the Constitution. This is all regarding the Electoral College and the petitions that we've put out there. If you want to understand the details, go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the petitions page. Read the top few documents about the petitions. There, download them, read them. The first one actually cites the 31 states and how they violated the Constitution. So this is irrefutable. Either the Supreme Court forces Congress to follow the Constitution, or we the people must force both SCOTUS, Congress, and our state governments, because if we don't do it, it's done. It's over. Because the way things are looking, your emperors at the state level is going to succumb to, you know, the world gods of, you know, Biden Incorporated, all of these despots that are looking to seize what little liberties you have left. This is where we are. So take that to the bank. Anyway, Harry, I hope you're listening. I hope that you're starting to recognize maybe the errors of your ways, but it takes a long time to turn that corner. I'm just telling you, it takes a long time. We will be getting into content. Like I said, we'll probably do some content next week, and I'll give you a heads up on what that's going to be. But one of the things I learned a long time ago, this probably when I was 6 years old, is I really loved being right. It wasn't just about winning an argument, but winning an argument where you can't be dragged back into it again. Right is right, especially if you are right. If you're based on the truth, that there you go. And I remember it was at the dinner table. I was talking math with my father, and we, you know, had a debate, let's say. It wasn't an argument, but a debate. And I actually was speaking about a formula, and I go, you have to do the formula. And he goes, no, you do it this way. And anyway, as we debated it, I was able to prove that I was right, and I really enjoyed that. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I enjoyed being right, especially when you're dealing with somebody that is superior to you in almost every way. And so, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but being right is important to some of us. And being spot on right, in other words, irrefutably right, is really important. Now, somebody that wants to be right doesn't mean they want to be anything else. And there are people, because a good friend of mine constantly asks me, do you want to be right or do you want to be rich? Because you can't be both. Well, at least that's his paradigm. I look at where I'm at and I go, I don't need more money, but I think being right is more important at this point. And so what that does is it kind of, I guess, labels me as an ideologue. Now, I think there's lots of ideologues, and I believe most patriots are ideologues. They're not populists. The problem is that the ideologue focuses on the wrong. Most people that are patriots that you may know, they're focused on the wrong thing. In other words, they're ideologically focused on abortion, and because that's the biggest moral issue of our time. Where the underlying and the greater issue is compliance of the Constitution, that abortion would not be a mandate by the federal government if the federal government maintained itself within the jurisdiction of the Constitution. Roe v. Wade would not have been heard by the Supreme Court, and they would not have basically ruled in favor of privacy and then an edict declared that a person has a right to an abortion. That would never have happened. And so you can hold on to the morality issue, but when it comes to politics and you're getting into the political ring, you know, leave your morality issue out, especially when it's about right and wrong, not about moral good and evil. I understand that there are very distinct lines, and I understand that there is an alignment, but the fact of the matter is that when they started mandating religion in education, this goes all the way back to the Scopes trial, my friend. This didn't just happen. This has been a very slow leaking of the dike, and the dam is about to burst, or the dike is about to go, and because it's leaking all over like a sieve. It started when they started injecting secularism in the education system, and the Scopes trial was the beginning of that. It was a huge win for the secular godlessness of America, where the Supreme Court basically said, we will become a secular religion. If you understand, they're violating, in so creating a law, because the First Amendment says they shall make no law respecting. So they can't say, you have to learn this or you can't learn that. There's no law. They can't meddle with it. But when they came out and said that evolution will be taught in school, they basically started teaching the anti-Christian faith, the secularist faith. And when I say secular, I mean godless. In the old days, when Madison used the word secular, he meant non-denominational. They were all Christians, but it was about being non-denominational. So anyway, there are ideologues that are patriots, and then there are populists that are out there that are quasi-patriots, but they're really not. And, you know, because they don't really care. They just want the majority. They're more on the Democratic side, and they don't realize that. But there are plenty of Republicans that are actually Democrats because they're populists. And I'll get into the difference between ideologues and populists when we come back. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I was saying, there are ideologues and there are populists, but there is the right ideologue and the wrong ideologue. And when you get into politics, too many people actually transform their politics and their government into a theocracy. If you are a theocratic person, then you are really not supporting individual liberty. There has to be a separation on paradigms for your religious ideology and your political ideology. In other words, you have to, if you understand the framers' position, and you are planted in their position, the right of conscience and how a person chooses to worship Christ is up to them. Many people, I've said this many times before, but it's worth repeating. When the states ratified the Constitution and Madison requested that they provide, the states all provide their input for suggested amendments. All the states, all of them, requested the removal of the religious test clause. They all wanted to have religious tests involved. Madison didn't include it. Why? Because the argument, which stands to this day, which test are we going to use? The Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, Episcopal? Which one? Evangelical? Is your test better? You have to remember that when they were working together in unifying this republic, the states had theocracies, or close to a theocracy, because they had state-sponsored religion. The Puritans took care of the compassionate services in Massachusetts and in the New England area. The Anglican Church took care of the compassionate services, welfare, education, and those types of things in the states where the Anglican Church was the sponsored church. So at the state level, that's okay. It was absolutely okay, but I'm going to tell you that they had the wrong paradigm, that it is best for government not to play favors or to single out. I do believe government should have a symbiotic relationship with the Christian faiths within its boundaries. In other words, you can have state-sponsored religion, however, not a specific faith. In other words, if you have 50% Methodists and one quarter evangelical and the other quarter is split up between a lot of other outlier faiths, even Buddhist and so forth. And so what you should be doing is you should allow and you should welcome competition within religion in providing the services and reward those who compete better and provide a better service. In other words, let's just say the Buddhists, you know, the 1% out of the entire state, it comes up with an awesome education where they're teaching kids, you know, mathematics and sciences and so forth so far better than the rest of the school systems that they get rewarded to, you know, manage the curriculum more and more and more. Well, okay, well, that's a good competitive environment, but they should never be monopolizing the curriculum. And in so doing, because that's what's happened to our curriculum with the education system today. The federal government slowly bullied itself into an unconstitutionally seized our education system, and now our curriculum is really based upon a single entity. I mean, if you look at the higher level education, McGraw, and I forget what the other textbook that was out there, but it's still being ran by, at the top level, the same people are pulling the strings that they want liberal, and when I say liberal, communist ideologies and communist paradigms in every textbook, whether that be science, whether that be math, it doesn't matter. Corporate law, labor law, they want those paradigms parroted so that every time a person thinks in a societal way, they are being taught collectivism and they're being taught that individualism is evil. So the best way that the states can actually take back, because when you have 50 states now managing 50 different curriculums, now you can create a competitive advantage at the state level. We have to decentralize our education. If you remember what I said about Thomas Jefferson describing our form of government, I kind of laid that out in an energy form. Thomas Jefferson described the energies of government as distributive, outward flowing, that the majority of the decisions would be and should be made at your county level. The things that affect your life most should be made at your county level and less at the state level and even less at the federal level. And so when you look at energies, there is centrifugal and centripetal energy. Centrifugal, most people know that if you put a water in a bucket and you start spinning around, centrifugal energy makes that water want to flow outward. Centripetal energy is energy drawing inward, like the energy of an atom and the nucleus holding that atom together, pulling it inward, keeping that ion circulating around the nucleus in a very tight bond. Well, so you can understand this, centripetal energy is very damaging in a form of government because it is communism. It takes and drains the creativity, the productivity, and everything that could be occurring at the farthest extremes from government, and it draws the controls of all of that into centralized government. So when we start talking about politics and religion, and this is right, wrong, whatever, if you want to, you know, hang me up on a flagpole or burn me in effigy, it is what it is. But when I look at what the divine hand of providence did with these 13 states that had disparate religions, he favored them because they united, and he gave them a system that, as far as I'm concerned, really was infallible. The only thing that made problems or some persisting little problems, such as the choosing of the president and some of these other things, that they didn't have the technology at that point in time. I am here to tell you that there is no reason why we would have a Senate anymore. Technically, we could abandon the Senate and actually create a virtual Senate, because who was supposed to manage the Senate? Who was supposed to select our senators? It was our state legislators. And technically, the state legislators could become bodies where you have a Senate in the state as well as a representatives of the people in the state. And now you have two senators, or I should say bodies, that decide, you know, whether they're going to confirm this justice or not. And you separate by interests of the, I'll just say, the sovereigns. Because if you understand, and we've gone through this, I repeat a lot of this stuff. So if you've been listening to this show, you've probably heard this a few times, that the Sherman Compromise in the Constitutional Convention, creating a bicameral legislative body, recognized sovereignty. Recognized that the people were sovereign and they needed representation at the federal level. And that the states were sovereign because we, the people, have foreordained state governments and given them constitutions and delegated power for them to reign or to legislate, create law, and be sovereign. The ultimate say's on those powers we delegate. And so he said, well, then we should have a representation of the Senate, or the Senate should represent the states, because now we have both sovereigns at the republic level represented so that we can have checks and balances. The same thing should be happening at the state, where the Senate should be representing the counties and the House of Representatives should be representing the people from the counties. Because counties actually have very disparate interests. You can have a desert county and you can have a coastal county, a timber county, and an agricultural county. And you cannot marginalize the interests of those counties, especially economics. And the reason why we're so screwed up is because Reynolds v. Sims basically relegated, or actually destroyed, this paradigm of recognizing sovereignties and pushed us into a democracy and ignored the sovereignties of government and allowed anarchy and this mob rule mentality to become the rule of the day since the 60s. Reynolds v. Sims was repugnant. That ruling was repugnant to the Constitution and the spirit of the Constitution. And the states need to step in and actually rip out those types of decisions as a part of republic review. But anyway, the whole point that I'm trying to go down this path in identifying sovereigns and so forth, and getting into the theocracies, you know, there's nothing wrong with you having your moral conscience. But when it comes to governing, we have to rule on individual liberty if we're going to maintain the spirit that was inspired, or I should say the spirit that inspired our framers, that we had to put individual liberty above all, that we could not compel one person to have to do something against their wishes, which is why we have conscientious objectors, and which is why we'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me circle back around here on this ideologue versus populist. So depending on your ideology, a lot of people lose sight of the ideology that was inspired by the divine hand of providence into the framers in creating this system that had so many checks and balances and separations of powers. And when I say separations of powers, it was horizontal separations as well as vertical separations. When I say vertical, just so you understand, horizontal is a separation between the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive, that they have very distinct and defined roles. Well, vertical would be the counties at the top, and under that would be the states, and under that would be the federal government. And actually, if you want to reverse that, because the foundation is the counties, the next level up would be the states, and that top level, but we're not a top level down society. We're a bottom up society. So we have to put the primary first, which would be the counties. Anyway, in understanding the difference between an ideologue and what type of ideologue you are, if you are a firm supporter of the Constitution, you put the individual liberties of others first and compliance to the Constitution foremost. If you believe that the sanctity of life is to dictate everything and you want to create an amendment, then what you will do is you will take this design of liberty and create fingers of compulsions. A good example of this was the alcohol prohibition. Morality took over and swept through the nation, and the states were convinced that they needed to get rid of the evil spirits of distilled liquors, that wine and beer was acceptable, but hard liquor was evil. And so they outlawed it, and they realized what they had done was they had, because the only way you can purge yourself of alcohol, tobacco, is not through compulsion, but through education and people realizing the damages that they do to themselves. Most people consider, because when you look at alcohol, if you do it, you know, not necessarily really moderate, but in between moderate and regular, or I should say maybe a heavy use or a constant use, you know, most people don't see the effects. Their liver, you know, they sustain a decent liver for the rest of their lives or for the period of their life. You got to realize also, somebody was telling me that the genetics of the human body were capable of living a lot longer and had, if we didn't have such shortened lifespans today, and we were able to live for 200, 300, 400 years, then that liver would be a lot more important to you, if you understand what I mean, because it would probably catch up on you about 80 or 90, and that would be just one-third of your life if the standard life expectancy for people that were living today that did abstain from alcohol and they lived 300 years. Well, man, that's a big difference, right? But today, right now, because you know most people die between somewhere in 60 and 80, and most people don't even attribute to the fact that in consumption of these recreational things, whether that be tobacco, alcohol, because the consumption of this is not for nutrition. It's not for any really benefit because the harm actually outweighs the benefit. The damage to the liver, the damage to the brain, the damage to the body, lungs, and all these other things, it's not a positive. It is a negative upon the body. But my point is that if we go down this path of educating people and people choose for themselves to live a long, healthy life, then okay. But it doesn't take long once we start making the decision that either you do this or you do that. And, oh, by the way, there are consequences because we have to restore consequences to decisions. If you choose to drink liquor and you choose to smoke, which is okay, you just need to start putting money away for the medical problems that you're going to have because nobody should have to cover or subsidize your lifestyle and the damages you do to your body, right? I mean, if we're truly in a free society and you are living with individual liberty and the freedom you exercise, insurances should be able to say, we're not covering the damage you did to your lungs and to your liver or whatever. I believe that that would be a true society of individual liberty because individual liberty, remember, comes along with freedom of choice, responsibility, and accountability for your actions. And so when we start putting it into that perspective, then all of a sudden people realize that they have to bear the brunt of the consequences. I can put it in another way. Homosexual marriage. You can't have kids, then you can't adopt. You can't have kids. You want to practice that lifestyle. You want to go down that path of perversion of human society because you can't propel the species if you are taking these types of tracks. And so bottom line, the consequences are you can't. And you can't compel and or force the system to give you kids. Now, when we start putting things into that type of perspective, then I truly believe that we are allowing people to make their own choices. Now, when I say that Christ's salvation was based on liberty, I truly believe that Christ didn't want people to go and grab them and drag them into the water and baptize them. I think that that would have been the antithetical ideology of Christianity and why he died for us. He knew we were going to make mistakes, but we have to make these choices ourselves. So, ideologically, I truly believe that if you support individual liberty, you can't support, you know, that we have to start compelling, especially at the federal level. The federal government and its focus, when we look at the design, and actually I'm going to jump down to this because I was going to get into this, but this is how Madison described the differences between the states and the federal government. The powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. The former will be exercised principally on external objects as war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce. He didn't say internal commerce. He said foreign commerce. The only internal commerce that the federal government has a responsibility is to make sure states don't wage economic warfare upon each other in harming each other. It's supposed to be the traffic cop of making sure that California doesn't start dictating to Michigan how to make their cars. If California wants cars a specific way, California can manufacture those cars. Anyway, principally on external objects as war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce, with which last the power of taxation will, for the most part, be connected. The powers reserved to the states will extend to all the objects which, in the ordinary course of affairs, concern the lives, liberties, and properties of the people, and the internal order, improvement, and prosperity of the states. So in other words, everything domestic, belongs to the states and the counties. The federal government is only outward facing, and it is only to be, it's specifically for, you know, our security, our defense, and our foreign negotiations and so forth. So anyway, let me try to close on this because I'm going to run out of time. I got basically 2 minutes. When we start looking at people within the parties, we have to start really quantifying and classifying where they're really standing. Are they an ideologue? And is their ideologue theocratic? Or is their ideologue constitutional and individual liberty and the separations of power and these different compartments that the federal government has no business doing anything other than what's within that constitution? If we focus on that, we can all unite in getting rid of all of these problems. But if you want to come to the table and say abortion is the only issue I care about, then as far as I am concerned, you're not about individual liberty. You're not about holding the federal government accountable. The federal government has enumerated powers. And oh, by the way, abortion is not one of them. Because now you have a seat at that table, but you have to have a seat at that table for all non-compliance. Don't just complain that they're not complying with your particular pet peeve. This brings everybody to the table. Because when the federal government starts ramming down our throats, whether it be religious doctrine in the education system, whether it be, you know, the types of energies we can use or what we can't use and how they've affected us, just look at the people out of energy right now or out of electricity because of all the windmills and solar power. The day of reckoning of the green commies has come. We need a true strategy, and I'm going to get into really where we need to start focusing, but what I wanted to do was just break down what a populist is, and a populist doesn't even care about the compliance of the Constitution. They just want the majority of the people happy. In other words, a populist aligns more with democracy than with republicanism, and specifically American republicanism. With that, we will pick up the rest of this because I think this is really important to go through for this week. This is good marketing stuff. At least I hope so. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.